This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Back in 2019, the federal government said it was aiming to achieve 40% of public transportation usage within the next 10 years. And this was in tandem with the National Transport Policy 2019 to 2030. And at the time, then Transport Minister Anthony Lok said that only 20% of Malaysians use public transport. So to explore whether Malaysia can hit those targets and whether we're doing enough to develop public transport in the country, I'm speaking with Dato' Rizal Abdul Saleh, Prasanara's first CEO and was involved with the LRT project from its inception back in 1997, and Dr. Rosli Khan, FMT columnist and transportation expert with over 30 years of experience in the transportation industry. So to both of you, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you, Roshan.
Thank you for inviting us today.
Another reason, you can build all the nicest trains and public transport in the world, but if people can't get on the trains with a certain degree of ease and minimal friction, there is going to be a problem optimizing ridership. What do you think needs to be done to address the last mile problem that we seem to be continuously facing here in Malaysia?
Agreed. I think my observation is that, yes, everybody is aware that the last mile is the issue, but I think people may not realize or rather understand how to address the problem. Mm-hmm. Why I say that is because we are talking about the last mile, but they keep ordering and buying the big buses for rapid bus. Now, it does not tell you with what they wanted to do. Now, if you say that you want a last mile, you don't buy a double-decker bus. Yeah. You don't buy a big bus with 48 people, passengers. Like in Hong Kong, they even have van to penetrate the small road and street in the city to bring the people. So what's wrong with buying a van? Because van is cheaper, and the cost of maintaining the van is also cheaper. But van can penetrate the small residential area and bring the people to the station. But this was not done. It was what we see is that they keep on buying the 40-foot buses and for 40 passengers in a bus, and at the end you see the bus running empty. Now I think that is the very simple analogy of how we failed to address the last mile issue.
Basically, when you make it difficult for people to get on these public transport solutions, they're not going to use it. So we are addressing the wrong market, it would seem, sometimes when it comes to the alignment that and or the way we're building our mass transit systems. Aside buses, though, and these other small, more fluid mobility solutions here, is there anything else that comes to mind, Dr. Rosli, about how we address the last mile issue? Because I understand Dr. Risa's point. Smaller buses can be more nimble in terms of the logistics. But at the end of the day, when it comes to public transport, it's mostly managed by Prasarana for the most part. So how do we get Prasarana involved in making more nimbler last mile decisions?
Okay. I think I read many reports which says that we are also encouraging cyclists now in Klang Valley, right? So in a lot of local authorities, they are putting up cycling lanes and things like that. So now there are transit authorities in many places in Europe that allow cyclists to bring their bikes into the train. We don't allow that because we say that the space constraint and all this thing and so on. But you could overcome this by now the cycle technology, the bicycle technology has moved on where you can have folding bikes, you know. So people could carry bikes into LRT or MRT by folding them, not by, you know, having the two-wheeler jutting out and disturb other passengers. But you can fold them. You can encourage them, you know. But at the moment, I don't think LRT or MRT allow passengers to carry bicycles into the train. That could solve a lot of first mile and last mile issue.
And that's an interesting proposition, right? Essentially, getting people to cycle, move around a lot more. But I always can't help the, and this may be quite a bit of a first world problem here. When we use our cycles and all, we're going to need a facility to clean up when we get to our office at the final destination because of the humidity that we face here, right? That's why when you take a look at places like Singapore, they've got a lot of underground passages. They kind of ease off the, let's say, discomfort of using public transport. But that requires a master plan, right? Which I guess we haven't really had in the past. And that's going to continuously, I think, be a concern there.
Not really. You don't need a master plan for that. All you need is that political will. Look at UK. Come on, Boris Johnson cycled to office. Boris Johnson take his bicycle to go on the underground train. So he's leading by example. So can we see some of our ministers cycle and take the bicycle to the MRT? Take the lead. Give the challenge to the riders.
Overall, I guess there is a benefit, right, to the regular Malaysian when we talk about public transport. It's essentially if you don't have vehicles, if you have appropriate last mile, you are able to connect the Greater Klang Valley and the Greater Kuala Lumpur together so you can live further away but still get to the city centre within a decent amount of time. But that said, while there are tangible benefits, we're still making losses on public transport. And for example, I cite here in 2019, Prasarana narrowed its losses by 59% to 250 million ringgit. And that was on the back of record revenue of 1 billion ringgit back then. And this was helped, I think, by the unlimited travel passes that was getting more people on trains and buses and helping ridership increase at that point. But then COVID-19 hit, and of course, there have been many issues since then. But in the longer term, COVID-19 aside, how do we balance, you know, achieving some kind of financial sustainability for all the public transport we want to build, but also ensuring financial accessibility to the rakyat? Dr. Reza, with your experience here, could you give us your viewpoints?
Yeah, I think very important. First, we have to run the public transport, you have to keep your cost very low. Mm-hmm. The lowest possible. You cannot have all these fancy dress kind of things, you know. You cannot afford to have extra staff, extra manpower, you know, go into a spending mode everywhere in every department. This is a fatality. We talk about balancing the revenue versus the operating cost. So I think if you say that, if you pointed out just now that Prasarana was making a loss, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Now, during my time, I was making a good, handsome profit of 27% positive. Now, the reason why I think this happened was because when there was a change, too many change of CEOs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they change the CEOs, the new CEO will bring in their people. And then after 1 year or 2 years, they left. Then the new CEO bring in their people. And then you can see layers and layers of this organization, in the organization. And that actually built up the manpower resources. And I think this was not controlled, well controlled. And over 20 years, I think they have huge manpower. During my time, I was only having about 3,000. Now they have about something like 10,000, and whether you like it or not, it's a fixed cost. So I was very careful with my cost last time, and I think this is one reason why they have run into some kind of losses. Now, as you know, more people will create more works. It's just like a Parkinson's law, where they everybody just tried to justify their existence, and therefore they create the scope of work to fill their position. So it become more job for everybody internally, and then the cost balloon, and I think that's where they run into a law. And then we cannot impose a very high fare to the public because this is meant for B40 and below majority. So I think that's where the deficit comes into picture. Very important, we have to keep our costs very, very low, very lean and mean organization.
I was speaking with Datuk Reza Abdul Saleh, Prasarana's first CEO, and was involved with the LRT project from its inception back in 1997, and Dr. Rosli Khan, FMT columnist and transportation expert, and you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. This morning, I'm speaking with Dato' Rizal Abdul Saleh, Prasanara's first CEO, and Dr. Rosli Khan, FMT columnist and transportation expert. So, Dato' Rizal, since Prasanara was founded in, was it the late 1990s or the early 2000s, following the completion of the STAR and the Putra LRT, we've also seen the rapid buses come under Prasanara, and lately, they are also in charge of the operations of the MRT, although they are not the asset owners. When we talk about the structure of public transport right now, ultimately, do we need to consolidate this, or is it a matter of maybe breaking it up a little bit more so that we can have more accountability?
I think the structure was actually in a mess. Mm-hmm. There are too many players, there are too many people at the top there. And then when the top is not seeing eye to eye, then I think it will trickle down to the bottom and affect the whole operation. So I think moving forward, I think they have to consolidate this under one entity. And then as you can see, during my time, even Prasarana only have one organization, which is Prasarana. Mm-hmm. I don't have rapid rail, I don't have rapid pass, etc. Now, when you create this rapid rail, rapid bus, you create competition among themselves. When they are supposed to provide the service, still they compete because everyone are given their KPIs,
yeah.
KPIs, and they have to make sure that their bottom line is met. So as a result of that, they compete among themselves and not focusing on providing services. I think we have to streamline this right from the top, even from the position of Ministry of Transport and Ministry of Finance. Already at the top there, it could be some, there is a possibility that people don't see eye to eyes, and it would trickle down into the board level, and then it goes down to the Prasarana organization, and then Prasarana will have various company, rapid rail, rapid bus, etc., and again, they will fight among one another, and I think this is what it leads to.
It's quite ironic because you would have thought that you would put everything under Prasarana to create a streamlined system as opposed to creating even more fragmentation within the internal structure here. Dr. Rosli, so I think as we were talking, I think before the show, MRT Co, Prasarana, they're not companies under the MOT, they are under MOF. So I guess looking forward, based on everything we've just discussed with Dr. Reza as well, and the current, I guess, mess in the system in terms of the bloatedness, I guess is one way to put it. Yeah. How do we restructure public transport infrastructure, or at least, you know, the organizations that manage all of this to create a more lean, mean system that also, I guess, doesn't cannibalize itself?
Yeah. I mean, the structure is the key to all these organizations. How you organize yourself, how many CEOs do you have, and things like that. So to me, if you are serving the passengers, you are nothing more than a public transport operator. So it should be organized under one roof. So you don't need to have Prasarana to run LRT, and then MRT Corp to run MRT, and then you have KTMB to run railway. They also run commuter services, you know. And then you have got RTS in Johor, which is given to MRT Corp. You know, so many different organizations. Of course, you know, different organizations really require a different board and different CEOs. So they have got to protect their own turf, you know, their own area and so on. So it's not the best way to organize public transport. You know, public transport is not a corporate entity where, you know, the CEOs has to be paid, you know, huge amount of money every month. This doesn't reflect well for public transport. Public transport, like Dato' Rizal said, should be lean and mean. You know, it's meant to serve the poor people, you know, the bottom B40 in the society, because it's, you know, you are collecting, you know, ₱1 or ₱2 fare, you know, from these people, and these people need trips to be made to places of work, to school, to shops and so on. So they, you know, they don't want to pay parking, they don't want to own cars, you know, they can't afford all the tolls. So those facilities are meant for the upmarket people, people who can own cars, people who can spend money, you know, 18 ringgit per day to pay parking in the city center. So people who travel by public transport can't afford that, you know. So there's a need to relook at the entire structure on how we manage transport. So how we manage public transport, you know, we have not spoken about how the toll, the collection of toll from the concession should actually be channeled to public transport.
Mm.
We have not touched on that issue. Many years ago, I think decades ago, the government was talking about even parking in the city center should be channeled back to public transport, because it's rather unfair that the local authorities, the government, which are part of the government, provide spaces in the city center where the land are so expensive for people to park their cars, you know, and that when they collect the money, they are, most of those parking spaces were privatized, were given to private companies, and private companies make profit from all this. So whereas in reality, all these charges collected by the local authorities should be channeled back to public transport, transit authority, who provide people to make trips into the city center. So this is how it should be managed financially. So given the fact that public transport operators are also losing money, like you said, mm-hmm. you know, so they need to recover from somewhere. You can't continue to recover from passengers who pay pittance to travel on this system. So you have to recover from somewhere else. If we can allow operators of ERL to collect funds that are paid to Malaysian airports, right? Because they cannot justify the cost of the revenue from passengers for the cost that they have invested. Why can't we do the same for MRT and RRT and KTMB commuters? Why can't we do the same? And we know KTMB is losing money every year from the operation.
Yeah.
But there's no subsidy given to them, you know, even though they are also under Ministry of Finance. So this is the reality that we need to relook, a comprehensive relook investigation into the entire system of public transport in the Klang Valley. And we have not touched cities outside KL and Klang Valley. Yet. We have not looked at Penang, we have not looked at JB, we have not looked at KK, Kuching and so on. So those cities also will one day require public transport systems, which we are not looking at, you know, at the moment.
So, Dr. Rosli, I guess, and Dr. Rita, I think it's time to wrap up this conversation. And we've gone quite wide-ranging, essentially, here. And it doesn't look like this is something that's going to be solved anytime soon. But hopefully, maybe we've educated people as to some of the core issues when it comes to public transport, maybe some of the concerns over last mile, and maybe where we can go from here, especially when we talk about a lean and mean machine that essentially runs all the public transport in this country, or at least in the urban Klang Valley. As we wrap up, Dr. Rizal, I throw this back to you here. Going forward, I guess what would you like to see as we are building the MRT2, the MRT3? These are all coming to are going to be online in a few years. I guess what are you looking for in the public transport system, particularly in the Klang Valley, the Greater Kuala Lumpur, over the next 1-2 decades? I mean, we are trying to hit 40% the 40% target, but Dr. Rosli doesn't seem too optimistic that we'll hit it. Overall, what are your closing remarks?
I think what Dr. Rosli said was very correct, and I think we have to solve the source of the problem. I think it's very important to go to the source, the real source of the problem. Now, I think the real source of the problem here, I think we are mixing the political structure and the transport structure.
Hmm.
Yeah? So I think that has to be resolved first before we talk about the last mile or whatever. Now, until we resolve that, political structure should not be the guiding principle to develop the transportation structure. Then I think there is some light at the end of the tunnel for that problem to be resolved. if we continue with this path of mixing the political structure and the transportation structure that is required, I think there is no way we can solve the problem.
How would that look like if we split these two, the political and the public transport sector? Are we talking about removing the political appointee element, or is that something else you're addressing?
No, first the structure. As I think Dr. Rosalie mentioned just now, the Ministry of Transport, and then we have Ministry of Finance. And we, not to mention, we have Ministry of Wilaya. Yeah? we are going into the Ministry of Wilaya, and I think they have many other rules and etc. So I think this has to be resolved. Either you want to give to one entity that report to Ministry of Wilaya, say for example, then it becomes that entity. Yeah. So I think many other cities in the world are facing the same problem, but somehow we have to find a way that will not mix the political structure with the transportation objective. Once you can solve that, I think there is some, because there are many issues we have to resolve. Yeah? Not only this structure, but first we have to start with that. After we solve that, then I think we start solving the next stage and so on and so forth. So I think that's my view.
Top line coordination. Who is ultimately accountable and responsible for this?
Correct.
Let one party be responsible and everyone coordinate with that one party, whether it's...
Yeah, correct.
FT Ministry, MOF, or MOT,
whatever,
or whoever it is.
Yes, correct.
Dr. Rosalie, I throw it to you as we wrap up and end this conversation. Any final thoughts or anything to follow up from what Dr. Reza said there?
Of course. I agree. Fully agree with Dr. Reza. We need to resolve the structure on how to go forward. It got to be one head, to run public transport for the whole of Klang Valley. I think there are so many examples that we can learn from. If you don't fancy looking at Singapore, you look at London. London, transport for London, there's only one authority, running all the buses, all the train, all the commuters, everything and so on is all run, by one authority, and there's only one head for that. And with that, once they resolve that, then they can look at on the source of funding the public transport. Where is the funding going to come from? Whether it's going to come from congestion charges, whether it's going to come from parking charges, from toll roads, from various sources and so on, from UOD development that they have been talking about, for so long, but they never actually channel the money to public transport. So, so all this can be resolved and looked into once you solve the structural problem.
Start from the top, essentially, and then work your way down in this situation. With that in mind, we have truly, well and truly run out of time today. To the both of you, Dato' Reza, Dr. Rosalie, thank you so much for joining me today. I was speaking with Dato' Reza Abdul Saleh, Prasanna's first CEO and was involved with the LRT project from its inception back in 1997, and Dr. Rosalie Khan, FMT columnist and transportation expert with over 30 years of experience in the transport industry. And you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanasin for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.